much you want to bet?
I don't bet.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
Oh, yes. It's time for the Week 17 Monday edition of the Bet the Board podcast. And just a little PSA before we get to introductions from my co-host, Payne Insider. If either of us start laughing uncontrollably or crying during this podcast, it's in direct relation to this Miami Bowl that's currently taking place, where we sat on a ticket for under 28 in the first half. They only scored 31 points in the first quarter. And Payne, last I checked, that's not good gambling math, my friend.
Not panning out too well. Fireworks early.
Thank God for live betting, so you will have that opportunity at your disposal throughout the course of the game. And for those folks that have listened to our podcast throughout the course of the regular season, thank you for continuing to tune in each and every week. You guys know the format. For new listeners, the Denver-Cincinnati game full-scale breakdown will come at the end of the podcast after we go through some of the things that we witnessed during the Week 16 Sunday slate for the most part. And Payne, because it is the holiday season, I want to start with the glass-half-full approach. Which teams, playoff or otherwise, really impressed you with their Sunday performance?
Wasn't so much a Sunday performance. The Saturday performance from the Chargers, they looked every bit of being down and out, knocked out on the canvas. Really resilient effort there from the Chargers to keep their playoff hopes alive. I'm a big Philip Rivers guy. I know he hasn't won the big one, but he's everything I would want in a quarterback, just gritty, in your face, very gutsy performance. It's a guy that I've monitored for a long, long time. Being a Florida State fan, he would constantly will his undermanned NC State Wolfpack to at least competitive games against the Noles. So that was a very, very gutsy performance. I was impressed by the Chargers. That was one of the bigger teams that impressed me this weekend.
Yeah, and I think you talk about teams fighting for their playoff life. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons for a side that really impressed me. New Orleans threw a haymaker right out of the gates. They get a kick return and a one-yard touchdown drive. So the Falcons basically came out of the gates down 7-0. Subsequently thereafter, you know, Atlanta dominated that game, outscoring New Orleans 30-7 over the course of the next, you know, 3.5 quarters. Of course, the Falcons will have a chance to control their own destiny in a game that we'll discuss in much greater detail on Thursday when they play host to the Carolina Panthers. Payne, any other teams that, you know, really surprise you in the positive manner, so to speak?
I agree with you there on the Falcons. The boys love Mike Smith. They're continuing to play for them, and it'll be interesting to see reports this past week about Mike Smith being out. They get the W on the road, potentially can win the division this week, host a playoff game. Will be extremely tough to fire Mike Smith at this stage in the game, really it would be. Another pretty gutsy performance, one that I know the Sharp guys expected again, was on Saturday with the Washington Redskins down and out, Gruden and RG3 battling against each other basically for what seems the last few weeks. So that was a pretty big performance there from the Washington Redskins. I know not so much in the playoff picture in terms of being a big win, but basically ruining the hopes of the Philadelphia Eagles. So that was a game that I was very impressed by the Washington Redskins. Other than that, not a ton of great, great efforts. The Giants had a good effort. Obviously the Cowboys, that was a big, big effort, finally winning that division, wrapping it up in a stylish fashion pretty much, basically sitting out the fourth quarter for Romo and Murray. So the Cowboys, I think, were probably the most impressive performance of the entire week.
Well, I think we have to put Seattle in that same vein as well, outgaining Arizona. We know Arizona, their quarterback issues, but 596 yards, the Seahawks rolled up, a 21-point fourth-quarter explosion to put that game out of reach, holding Arizona to 216. And, you know, I'm not sure you and I necessarily call them the undisputed Super Bowl favorites as we go into Week 17 and subsequent playoffs, but I know a lot of folks throughout the media believe the Seahawks are fully back, and it's really hard to argue with their defensive performances during this five-game winning streak. The single greatest offensive output against them, 14 points on the road from the Philadelphia Eagles. So maybe we do have to look at Seattle as a force to be reckoned with, especially considering the road to the NFC Championship may run through the Pacific Northwest for the second year in a row.
Yeah, we've been talking about them for a few weeks. I know we were pretty heavy on them a few weeks ago at Philadelphia. The defense is healthy now, turning the corner. The offense is playing to its strength. which is Russell Wilson staying on his feet, dink-and-dunk football, wearing teams down, basically. And that's really what we saw last night. That explosion in the fourth quarter was basically everything Seattle did, punching the Cardinals in the mouth for three quarters. The Cardinals just wore down late, and the onslaught of points finished or followed. So, you know, Seattle really is that team moving forward. It'll be interesting to see. They've done a lot of quirky things with the offense, and Wilson just, you can run him until he can't run anymore, basically, because he plays so smart. He gets down, really the reverse of what we've seen with RG3, but Seahawks are a powerhouse, especially defensively. If the playoffs go through them, they're going to be a tough, tough beat.
And with this sweep, obviously, comes the sour pain. And you talked about the Redskins, of course, the team that they had to go through at home as a touchdown underdog. Philadelphia eliminated from playoff contention, kind of with a listless effort against the Redskins. Had a chance early in the second half to grab hold of this football game and allowed Washington to stay afloat. So for me, I think the Eagles have to be considered one of the most disappointing efforts of the entire weekend, considering it came on the heels of a pretty, I don't even know how to best to describe it, but not one of their best efforts against the Dallas Cowboys the Sunday night before. And I believe there's a team in the AFC that drew your ire that you thought pretty much mailed it in because their quarterback struggles yet again away from home.
Yeah, totally agree with you on the Eagles. The Ravens are another great candidate. I know there's a lot of sharp guys let that line go as high as humanly possible, came in late on the Houston Texans. Joe Flacco, again, away from home, just a different quarterback. I know he's been winning games recently on the road, but doesn't look impressive. It's just a different team on the road, specifically Flacco. The win against Miami was all to do with the run game and just being more physical. But when the Ravens needed Flacco to step up, when you talk about that Texans secondary, I believe going into that game allowed 19 passing touchdowns to just absolutely stifle Flacco. For the much of three quarters was a pretty disappointing effort from the Ravens. That was definitely one of the bigger underachievers of the entire week. We talked about the Falcons and how great they looked, but a lot of that to do with how bad the Saints were. So that's another team that definitely underperformed. Controlled your own destiny in that building. I know it hadn't been as powerful this year as a home field advantage, but the Saints had just lifeless effort, really. That was very shocking to me. And I don't know if there's another team that disappointed you on Sunday.
No, I think the Saints are the last team that I was going to hit on. And you talk about a team who, you know, had a vaunted home field advantage, five straight losses in their own building. We talked about early in the year the potential demise of the skill set for Drew Brees, and I think it became a lot more pronounced, but unfair to put the entire burden on him. But when the Saints are only going to muster 14 points at home against the Atlanta Falcons defense, it's not exactly a recipe for long-term success, and there's a reason the Saints will be home for the holidays, missing the playoffs, despite having the inside track to win that NFC South seemingly just about every week throughout the course of the regular season. And Payne, as we always do...
Are you going to let the Bills' performance slide this week?
I may let the Bills' performance slide, only because, I mean... You know, we didn't really expect much from the Bills, and the fact that they came out and laid an egg after beating the Packers, but... Sure, we can pick apart the Buffalo Bills. It doesn't hurt my feelings to go after the folks in Western New York.
Now, we were all over the Raiders. We talked about this on the podcast. We liked the Raiders. I think the Chiefs were the only dud we gave out. But the Bills, finally, basically, you have a shot at the playoffs after years of ineptitude, and you just crap the bed. I know it was a trip across the country, but really, really disappointing performance. Kyle Orton, you got to find a replacement for him. I think he can only take you so far. So definitely wanted to bash the Bills before we slid on to greater things in the podcast.
Might be time to get E.J. Manuel warmed up under center. What a day it's going to be next year in the NFL when we have a chance potentially to see two Florida State starters taking snaps on a regular basis yet again. The man on the other end of the line, you can follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider. You can see his work at PayneInsider.com. I'm Todd Furman. Check out my website, ToddsTake.com. And no, I won't be rehashing Memphis and BYU first half under the posted total at 28 as this game continues to snowball away as we record this Monday edition. And Payne, as we see in Week 17 all too often, a lot of games off the board. So many playoff scenarios do have to play themselves out. You're talking about teams with different motivations, different expectations going in. We've already seen a few rumors and quarterback changes already this morning. Jay Cutler back to starting for the Chicago Bears as Jimmy Clausen will miss that game against Minnesota with a concussion. That number's gone from 7 to 6.5. The other buzz out in the NFC West, where it looks like Bruce Arians has said he's leaning towards Logan Thomas making his NFL debut as a starting quarterback. Of course, he took some reps earlier this year in the Denver Broncos game.
Yeah, it's just a matter of when this podcast gets published and out to the folks, but that game will be on the move, the Bears game. Basically, you know, we talked about this before we got on the podcast with quotes from Jay Cutler. I think we actually see a revitalized performance from Cutler, and seven, it's now 6.5, but you can still get some sevens a couple places. I think that'd probably be a decent game that you're going to want to move on very soon as opposed to waiting.
I would definitely agree there when you talk about that. The interesting situation, too, as we're recording this podcast now, Cleveland and Baltimore has actually just come off the board at most of your more prominent offshore books. Baltimore opened as a 9.5-point favorite, total of 42.5. Brian Hoyer's status very much in doubt with a shoulder injury. Johnny Manziel, hamstring injury. I won't even claim that I know who the third-string quarterback is for the Cleveland Browns, but that's why you get the big money on that end of the line.
A lot of games off the board, and this is kind of a week where it's tough sledding on Monday in terms of telling you where these lines are going to go. A lot of situations are going to align where games need to be won potentially tonight. At one specific instance, if you were to able to get Denver to win tonight, and then you're looking at New England-Buffalo on the 1 p.m. time slot come Sunday, if New England were to win that game, basically Denver's going to be slotted in as a two seed, and there's really not going to play for much. My feeling is you will see once this line, this Oakland line opens up, some sharp money, basically number grab the Oakland Raiders, and if things can materialize with that 1 p.m. time-stamped game, potentially a big position on the Raiders at that point, plus how many ever points that opens up. I'm envisioning this line being at least double digits. So a lot of things need to play out. And back to the Jay Cutler Minnesota game, as well as the side potentially looking over in that contest at 43.5 as well with Cutler out there. So a lot of stuff in flux right now as we talk about this on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, we have definitely seen the Vikings, a team that's put a lot of put a few games over the total, the Lions game notwithstanding. As we saw, the 41-point quarter, fourth quarter they combined for this past Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. And I guess with so much uncertainty out there, a couple of the things that we do know, Detroit-Green Bay, the Packers, a 7-point favorite, total of 47.5 in that game. What's at stake? Both teams, of course, going to the postseason. The winner will end up the champion of the NFC North and have a bye through the first round of the playoffs. You look at Seattle, they control their own destiny, a chance for home field advantage all the way throughout, 13-point favorites. Against the St. Louis Rams, total on that one sits at 41. And San Diego, they're going to need a win and some help, 2.5-point dogs at Arrowhead against the Chiefs team on the outside looking in, given some pretty lethargic performances over the past couple weeks. And, of course, the Atlanta Falcons, 3.5-4, depending on where you look, total of 47.5-48 for their NFC South showdown against the Carolina Panthers.
Yep, San Diego, they've really been doing some work on the road against the spread over the past few seasons. I think opening that short of 3 is probably the right move there if you can get a 3. I would be inclined to look San Diego a little extra time with their game Saturday. Looking at that game, I think we'll see some under money come in on the Detroit-Green Bay game. I really do. I would not be opposed to going towards the square side, so to speak, and laying it with Green Bay. Just not a huge believer in Detroit. I just don't think they do enough offensively to potentially keep up in a game like this, a game where Green Bay is going to spread them out and basically devalue their defensive line. Also revenge from earlier in the season. I'm just not a big Detroit guy. I'm not a big Matthew Stafford guy. Again, very lethargic effort at the Bears. We told you to wait as long as humanly possible on the Bears. Could have got 10 on Sunday, which was a very, very good bet. Just too much of an overreaction in the marketplace there. Other than that, we have seen some early money come in on Atlanta, opened as low as 3. You're now out to 4 in some places. And then Rex Ryan's last hoorah in Miami was able to come down to Miami late last year and lay one on Miami. Opened as much as Miami being a six-point favorite, their early money on the Jets as well. Do not totally disagree with that move at all, and I think it will continue to trend downwards.
And we also saw over the weekend Joe Philbin going to be given a stay of execution in South Beach, I believe, correct?
Yep. Looks like that big, gutsy come-from-behind win against the Minnesota Vikings earned him some leeway, apparently. If you're a Miami Dolphins fan and you've just lived in this mediocrity where you're constantly going 7-9, 8-8, I was rooting for back-to-back losses, change everything, get a better draft pick. Unfortunately, that looks like we aren't going to get that. So one of the worst wins of the season for the Dolphins in my book.
And inevitably, he'll follow it up with another worst win against the Jets. But it should definitely be an interesting game. To the Jets' credit, they have shown plenty of fight over the last few weeks, starting to show a little bit of promise for a team that for much of the season really looked to have absolutely no clue. Of course, the big thing, folks, as you guys know, we'll get into these games when a lot more of these pictures become clear to know what players will be out there, what these teams are looking for, and we have a chance to do significantly more reading on how they'll all approach their games. And Payne, before we get to the Monday night game, just a couple of other teams that I wanted to get your thoughts on real quick. The likes of San Francisco, New Orleans, Philadelphia, all teams that had aspirations of playoff bursts and deep runs in the postseason. You know, how do you look to handicap them for Week 17 games?
It's pretty tough. We saw a resilient San Francisco team where everybody thought they gave their last stand in Seattle, came out pretty fast against San Diego. So the one key here is a lot of guys are going to be number grabbing earlier in the week, taking what they think is the best of it. The other positions are going to come in at the very last moment, and what you're going to be looking for is sides that have been talked about all week that have nothing to play for, that potentially could have quit, and backing those teams because the market's adjusted too much. So it'll be interesting to keep your eye on some of those teams you just mentioned. We've already seen an early move on the New York Giants, opened as low as 1.5, now out to 3 in some places. They've been playing very, very well with not much to play for. Another good effort at St. Louis, despite wise guys all over St. Louis. It'll be interesting to see what Philadelphia brings to the table against a division foe with basically nothing to play for at this stage. So that'll be the key, watching some of these lines. People will number grab like they did on the Giants early. Be interested to see how high this number goes, looking for middle positions from professionals and basically playing teams and getting, you know, great value because they're being undervalued in the marketplace.
And mind you, this is a Giants team that who definitely has shown some fight, as you allude to, and was thoroughly embarrassed in primetime by Philadelphia earlier in the year. So I have to imagine they will look to bring their A game to close out the season and potentially Tom Coughlin's career as head coach at MetLife Stadium for that New York Giant football franchise. As far as games that don't mean a whole lot to playing out the stretch, to one that does have a ton of meaning tonight in the jungle, Denver, a 3-point favorite for the trip to Cincinnati. Total now at 47. We have seen some under money that's pushed this total from 48.5 on the open all the way down to 47. Payne, the stage is yours. I'll let you start your initial breakdown of Broncos-Bengals tonight and what's at stake for both these teams who are looking to try and cement their status in the AFC playoff picture.
The jungle. Is that what they're calling Cincinnati these days?
The jungle, baby. You just don't go into the jungle and walk out of there with a victory against a Marvin Lewis-led football team.
He's brilliant. I've talked about this Cincinnati team a lot this year. I think they're one of the fakest 9-win football teams in all of the NFL. Do not value them very much at all when you look at this team and who they've beat. Really nobody aside from two Baltimore games where they were pretty fortunate, trailed at Baltimore late after starting fast, got a very, very friendly call against Baltimore at home on an offensive pass interference. Aside from that, they've beat the likes of Tampa, Houston, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Atlanta. So one of the fakest teams in the NFL. That said, professionals are all over the Cincinnati Bengals tonight. I personally cannot get on that side. Do agree with the under, and the key there to this under tonight is, can the Bengals stop the run? We know Denver's been going to the ground game. Cincinnati hasn't been able to stop the ground game all season long. That'll be the key if Cincinnati wants a shot at this game and if the game's going to stay under.
Yeah, I mean, I think you talk all the time about Andy Dalton and how these game plans will look. As we've seen from the Denver Broncos, they've been focused much more on running the football on first and second down, looking to try and get in a third and manageable, and then opening up the playbook a little bit there. I know, Payne, we've talked at great lengths about, you know, trying to utilize every option that's available to you. Do you think the first half total under 24 makes it a more compelling case maybe tonight than the full game?
I think the key here is if you need to get 24, it's going to be trending, you know, to 23.5. I think the key is definitely getting 24. That makes some sense. And I think, you know, whatever side you're playing tonight, you're going to hear narratives in both directions. And the narratives are going to be Peyton Manning in cool weather. We're now looking at probably a kickoff temperature in the low 40s. He is banged up. The arm's fatigued. He's got the thigh issue. That's partly it. But then the other narrative is going to be Andy Dalton in primetime games. And this team and him have not performed well at all. And that's really what takes me off a side in either direction. Not going to back Andy Dalton, but certainly not going to back the or fade the professionals with the Bengals and the huge sentiment they have towards them tonight. For me, again, it would be looking at this total and looking at it in the first half and only going under that number of 24.
Yeah, I think it definitely makes a whole lot of sense. Like we talked about before coming on the podcast about either one of these teams facing a deficit, more likely Cincinnati, and the potential dangers that come from Andy Dalton flinging it all over the yard. Should have a playoff-type intensity there, knowing Cincy, a win gets him into the playoffs. Denver still trying to fight for that number one overall seed and, of course, a bye through the first round, which pretty much sewn up at this point. For folks looking at some of those playoff scenarios, I encourage you to Google a number of your fine outlets that are there. Pro Football Talk has a good piece talking about pretty much every team in the NFL and exactly what they'll need. If you're a Tampa Bay Bucks fan, Tennessee Titans fan, Chicago Bear fan, just know ahead of time that none of the scenarios include your team getting into the NFL postseason. So want to try and temper those expectations in advance. And Payne, before we get to do this again for one last time during the regular season later this week, of course we won't do it on Thursday given the Christmas holiday. Probably reconvene on Friday, and at that point discuss a playoff podcast schedule as well. Any final thoughts for our loyal listeners as we head into the holiday season?
Yeah, I think we talked about it at first in this podcast, and I think it's getting out ahead, getting on to the Chicago Bears, and getting seven if you can, because I don't believe that will last long. Everything that we've read is Jay Cutler should be motivated. He should remove himself from the couch, press pause on the Laguna Beach reruns, and get out there and show a gutsy performance in a division game at Minnesota.
Neither of us should be bitter. We don't have Kristen Cavallari to go home to, so things are not all that bleak on the Jay Cutler front, despite that sour grin, whether it's blood sugar, the lack of nicotine as bloodstream, or whatever else may contribute. But to all the loyal listeners that have been with us since week one of this NFL football season, the ride's not over yet, but want to wish you and your families a very happy holidays, whether you're celebrating Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, or other holidays that I still don't quite
Festivus.
Understand. Festivus for the rest of us. There you go, Payne. like the Seinfeld reference. For Payne Insider, at Payne Insider on Twitter, I'm Todd Furman. Follow me on Twitter, at Todd Furman. Best of luck on Monday night with the Broncos-Bengals game, and we'll be back later in the week to preview all Week 17's Sunday tilts, and hopefully we'll get a chance to see you at the window.